This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden is a national security risk, and yet they think you are a national security risk. We will talk about that. Julie Kelly is going to update us on all the latest and greatest. Oh, my goodness. There's so much to get to. Just stay tuned for I'm Right. All right, everyone's focused on the speech, right? Joe Biden just gave a speech. Money for you. Sure. We'll just borrow money. Let's set aside that speech for our purposes here tonight on I'm Right. I want you to listen to something, and you're going to listen for two different things as you listen to this. This is a longer clip than we normally play you. It's Joe Biden being interviewed on a plane. And here are the two different things I want you to listen for. And it's way, way long. Just stay with me. These are the two things you're going to listen for. One, I want you to listen for the balancing act Democrats in this nation, the balancing act they try to walk, the tightrope they have to walk at all times. This is what I mean. Remember, the communist, He thrives on two things. There are two things that fuel communism. Two things. Lies, and those tie directly into the second thing. Your apathy. You must remain apathetic and unaware. So if you're a communist like Joe Biden, AOC, I mean, take your pick. It's really the communists behind Joe Biden. But if you're one of these types, here's what I mean. When you give an interview, you're going to use language, you want to use language that is letting your rabid communist murderous base know that you are with them, that you are actually going to hurt the people they want to hurt. You have to let them know that. But you can't be too overt about it because you rely on the American communist media to run cover for you, and they will run cover for you as long as you're not too overt about it. So here's what communists do. What they do is they slowly but surely, over time, use language to other or create enemies of people they hate. We've talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again. What have they called you over and over and over again? 4, 5, 6 years. What language have they used to describe you? Extremist, extreme, extremist, threat to democracy. And what happens every time there's a horrible shooting? They call it a mass shooting and they blame you and guns. Whenever they use language like extreme, extremist, mass shooting, that's the same language they use to describe you. In this clip, you'll hear it when he's kind of talking about Hamas, but what he's doing is he's taking what people think about Hamas and he's making sure his domestic political enemies are lumped into the same thing. Okay, so that's the first thing I want you to listen for, the language they use. There's a second thing I want you to listen for, though. I want you to listen to just how gone Joe Biden is. Hey, look, we've played a million clips about Joe Biden screwing things up, can't talk, sounds half asleep. Joe Biden is not going to be running to be the Democrat nominee in 2024. I know you've heard me say that a million times. I've been telling you that for a couple years. There's just no way they can prop this guy up again. This is a little long. Listen for the language. Look at his condition.
Virtually every mass shooting, every circumstance where a large number of people have been victimized and lost, I've spoken to.
I learned a long time ago what you've all learned in your life. When someone's going through something that is beyond their comprehension, they've never thought they'd have to go through. If they see someone who they think understands, or maybe they took something not the same but similar, it gives them some sense of hope. And I always get criticized sometimes on my staff because when I go to these events, I stay for 3 or 4 hours and answer all their questions. But it matters. It matters a lot. And look, I'm talking, some of you have gone through a hell of a lot more than I've gone through, and a lot more than other people have gone through. And you understand. So people are looking for just something to grab, something that gives them some sense of hope. And that's, if I can do a little bit of that, then it's, you know, it's worth doing. It's done for me.
Yeah. But you notice, talking about Hamas, terror, what's he reference? Mass shooting, of course. Oh, and I do need to point out on the whole Joe Biden's not going to make it thing, let's always remember that this person is going to be president if Joe Biden has to resign.
So let us today celebrate America's diversity and our collective commitment to inclusion and the importance of equity. Yes, I just did do DEI.
Anyway, let's go back to Joe Biden. I just had to throw that one in there. Let's go back to Joe Biden. So this is what we're dealing with. They're using language constantly to describe people who blow up, rape, and incinerate women and kids to describe you. They use this language all the time. They don't use this language on accident. They use this language because they feel about you actually worse than they feel about any foreign-born piece of trash. And you and I had better keep that little fact in mind. Why do you think Grandma Vodka, when describing all the stuff in the house, why do you think she uses language like this? Remember, this woman doesn't use any language that's not purposeful.
When we've had a speaker's race on our side or their side, we've always respected each other's judgment. But today and yesterday, that was an assault on our democracy, as Jim Jordan assaulted our democracy on January 6th.
Assaulting democracy. Why do you think they use this language all the time? Well, because they want to hurt you. They want to throw you in prison and they want to hurt you. They want to use every part of the national security apparatus against their domestic political enemies. That's why you hear a never-ending drumbeat from Joe Biden on down about you, extremists, assault on democracy, threat to democracy, might end democracy. That's why they look at terrorist attacks. And you know what they see? They don't see terrorist attacks. They're not moved in any way. You know what they see? They see an opportunity for more domestic gun confiscation. That's why they immediately conflate it with mass shootings. These people don't take a day off on their plans for you. Never. They never have even a brief moment where they think about the country or even foreign affairs or victims of this. They don't take a minute off. Everything for them is about moving the ball forward. And part of moving the ball forward involves hurting you. That is something you must understand. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow. But if you're listening to them, they're basically telling you what they want. And this is where, there's something else I saw that drove me crazy yesterday that ties me directly into this. Did you see all the little pro-Hamas rabid animals that took over the Capitol? Here's a little clip of it. Okay, and I know what you're probably saying. You're probably saying the same thing everyone else on the right is saying. Jesse, why are they not arrested? Jesse, they arrested the January 6th protesters. Jesse, what about the hypocrisy? Look at this hypocrisy. How could they get away with it? You need to focus a lot less on the hypocrisy and more on why they get away with it. They get away with it because you are already sandwiched. You are already involved in stochastic terrorism weaponized against you. What is that? Well, it's basically the people on top, the people in charge, the elites, the Justice Department, all of them. They share a worldview, a religion with the rabid animals you saw there on the bottom. And the people on the bottom, they have a job to do. It is their job to do violence, activism, hurt people, kill people, vandalize things, take over the Capitol, do whatever. And they do so with the knowledge that the people on top will protect them legally from that. You are not on top. You are not on the bottom. You are right here in the middle being surrounded and sandwiched by your enemies. That's why their rabid little animals get to saunter into the Capitol and take the place over. And if you bought a cup of coffee in D.C. during January 6th, you go to federal prison. It's not a mystery. And stop pointing out the hypocrisy. Just start being aware of how truly evil your government is, top and bottom, and you're in the middle. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Tax season is upon us. October 15 just passed, and now we're all stressing, right? And maybe you're extra stressing because maybe you owe. Maybe you owe 10 G's, 50 G's, more. Maybe you missed a year. It happens. Maybe you missed two. Maybe you missed 10. You're not going to get any judgment from me, but you do need help. That's where Tax Network USA comes in. They are the people who help us. People like you, people like me. Normal people who are in a bind and need to figure out a way out of this mess. Let Tax Network USA do that for you. Tis the season. These are the people you can trust. I'm telling you. Go to taxnetworkusa.com/Jesse and get a professional. You can't do it on your own, but you can do it with their help. Taxnetworkusa.com/Jesse. Go now.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Almost immediately after the...
The committee will come to work. Let me make it clear, we will not tolerate interruptions in our hearing. Now is not the time to play political games. We need to make sure that the other nations and terrorist groups do not...
Now is not the time to play political games. How many bombs need to be dropped on Gaza before we
will be in order.
How many children need to be killed? Our families are dying! Our families are dying! We need a ceasefire now!
18 years ago, Israel took the brave step of dismantling Israeli settlements in Gaza, handing it to...
Joining me now, I just get a good kick out of that. Joining me now, Julie Kelly. You need to go subscribe to her Substack called Declassified. Julie, okay, what happened yesterday with these little animals in the Capitol?
Well, Jesse, what I'm told is what happened right there with those three individuals is they attempted to obstruct, impede, or influence an official proceeding, which what I'm told by the Department of Justice is a felony punishable by up to 20 years in prison. I really expect that those three protesters now have been hauled off to the D.C. gulag, indicted on 1512C2, official obstruction of an official proceeding, the felony that more than 300 January 6 defendants and Donald Trump faced for January 6. So I'm sure they're rotting in a D.C. gulag right now, denied release, awaiting trial that could take, I don't know, a year or two. So in a fair world, of course, that's exactly what would be happening. But my expectations are rather low that that is exactly the facts.
Yes, we don't live in a fair world. In fact, we now live in a very evil system when we're underneath one. And give us an update on that, Julie, because we all know what's going to happen here. These people will get off scot-free. Look, let's just skip right to the end. They're going to get off scot-free, and the DOJ is going to go back to doing what they believe is their mission, and that's throwing their political enemies in prison. What's going on with Donald Trump?
Right, so that's exactly right. I mean, these protesters, not just the Senate protesters, but of course the hundreds that occupied the Cannon House office building yesterday, breaking the law. They're not permitted to demonstrate in an office building. Nonetheless, of course, they will all get off scot-free. Jesse, as you know, I was in Washington this week and attended the historical gag order hearing in Judge Tanya Chutkan's courtroom on Monday morning. And it was a surreal experience, I have to say. Listening to an assistant U.S. attorney, Molly Gaston, who is not elected in any form, just a lifetime bureaucrat for the Department of Justice, and a Jamaican-born Democratic judge, discuss in open court what Donald Trump, not just a former president and presumptive GOP presidential candidate, but a man who has created a business empire in this country, employed hundreds of thousands of people and their families over the course of decades. To have these two unaccountable bureaucrats talk about, discuss, debate, and consider what he can say as he's running for president really was galling. And at one point, Jesse, it got so ridiculous that Molly Gaston and Tanya Chutkan were talking about whether Donald Trump can say crooked Joe Biden on the campaign trail and whether a comment like that would violate special counsel Jack Smith's gag order. It's just another escalation in our slide towards a banana style, a banana republic style country. And this is another unprecedented move in that direction.
Julie, it's always sobering when we have these talks, but I feel obligated to keep having them, to wake people up to the reality of it, because there's a whole lot of pie in the sky talk out there right now. And I don't think people understand they're not going to let him out. He's not going to get out of this. And I realize, especially for a hardcore Trump fan, that is hard to hear. He can overcome. He's going to do it. He's caught up in an evil system. Even Donald Trump, he ain't getting out of it.
He's not. And I write on my Substack, Jesse, Declassified with Julie Kelly, how this gag order really is a contempt trap. And it's not just a contempt trap for Donald Trump. This gag order applies to his lawyers, and it also applies to surrogates, what Jack Smith called in his proposed order surrogates, what Tanya Chutkan calls in her final order, astoundingly, just others. So it applies to who knows? Does it apply to Donald Trump Jr.? Does it apply to his campaign spokesman? Does it apply to supportive members of Congress? Furthermore, in the order, it applies to reasonably foreseeable witnesses. It could be dozens of people tied to the 2020 election. Remember, this indictment deals with what Jack Smith calls Donald Trump's attempt to overthrow or overturn the 2020 election. We heard in court that this gag order will prevent Donald Trump from saying anything negative about former Attorney General William Barr, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley. It also restricts his ability to publicly criticize Mike Pence, who is not just a potential witness, but also, as you know, Jesse, January 6th is Mike Pence's entire platform for running for president. Donald Trump can't respond. So anyone who has described this as limited or restricted or narrow, this gag order is anything but. It is a contempt trap set up by Jack Smith and authorized by Judge Tanya Chutkan.
Golly. You know, all right, let's move off this, Julie, because I remember the January 6th political prisoners. Now, to your credit, You've been talking about them since, oh, I don't know, January 7th. So have I. Most people forgot about them right away. And then they talked about them for about 5 seconds after Trump started running, and now we forgot about them again. However, they're real people who matter just as much as Trump and anyone else. What's going on with them?
Well, they still exist. And not only, now we've moved from protesters who were held, denied release, and held under pretrial detention. Now we see these excessive prison sentences that DOJ is recommending and that these judges are going forward with. I sat in the courtroom this week of Judge Royce Lamberth, a Reagan-appointed judge, Jesse, who can't even get out of his chair without assistance and uses a walker, but yet refuses to retire because this is his entire life, is being part of this prestigious DC federal bench. He sentenced a mother of eight, Rachel Powell, to 57 months in prison. Now, there's no doubt that Rachel Powell acted badly that day. She broke a window. She was inciting other people to go inside the building. 3 hours really of bad behavior on her part. She has no criminal record. Judge Lamberth recognized that she had, up until January 6th, led what he called an outstanding life, raised a family under difficult circumstances, also has grandchildren. Nonetheless, is throwing her in jail for 57 months and leaving her family to fend for themselves. She's a single mother, and basically her 15-year-old son, she told the court, will be responsible for managing their family. These judges are pure evil. They are really the villains in all of this, because without their imprimatur, the DOJ couldn't get away with any of this. And here you have this man, feeble, old, bitter man, who, while acknowledging Rachel Powell's, as I said, life and family up to that point, is going to throw her in jail for almost 5 years for an outlier of bad behavior now nearly 3 years ago. Really, every time I go there, I'm more shocked and disgusted at what I see in our nation's capital, in the federal courthouse in our nation's capital.
God have mercy. Julie. Declassified with Julie Kelly. That's her Substack. Go subscribe to it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Jesse.
You bet. All right. If that wasn't enough motivation for you to leave your blue area and get to a red one, maybe just one more little prompt will help. We'll get to that in a moment. But here's something else. Speaking of January 6th, you know what I remember? I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember when I came across the article after January 6th that described Bank of America taking the information of its customers, its own customers, and without a warrant, handing the information of its own customers over to the government. The Bank of America volunteered its own customers up as sacrificial lambs. That's how evil the banking industry is in this country. You don't have many options, but you do have one. Old Glory Bank. Doesn't matter where you are. Mobile app, all 50 states, founded by people like Larry Elder and John Rich, people we love, people who share our values. They don't work hand in hand with the FBI without a warrant. Go move your banking to Old Glory Bank. Go to oldglorybank.com. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I am in the liberal hellscape that is New York City. I lived here actually for most of my life, but moved 2 years ago to the free state of Florida. Every time I come back, my friends are like, oh my God, do you miss it? What's it like being back? Do I miss it? It is the middle of summer, and everyone around me seems to be pale, unhappy, masked, and trans. Okay, I take that back. Not everyone is trans. Everyone's just kind of androgynous looking. A lot of purple hair. I feel like I'm observing a social experiment. And the men are all low-T soy betas. They all have pronouns in their bios. Plus, the Mario Kart-styled obstacle course of having to swerve around homeless people and jump over dirty needles on the street has just only gotten more complicated. Plus, I reveal myself every time I get a latte here. Asking for cow milk feels like a crime. Plus, half the time, they don't even have it. I'm in the belly of the beast, accepting all prayers.
It is... She's just so right. I just got back, like 2 days ago. Everyone's friggin' miserable. Joining me now, political commentator. You'll recognize her from that video, Erin Wexler. Erin, I just got back from New York City, my formerly beloved New York City, and no one says hi. Everyone's miserable all the friggin' time. And not even like New York City miserable, just generally, everybody's unhappy. It's weird.
It is a very strange place, but I'm glad you made it back safely. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Why did you move?
I moved for a number of reasons. I would say there are two main ways to distinguish the blue states versus the red states. And I would say that first it's the government, then it's the people, as you mentioned. So first with these governments, when I was living in New York, it felt like the government felt like we, the people, worked for them. Living in the free state of Florida, it is the government that works for the people. Now, when it comes to the actual residents of these states, as you mentioned, people living in blue America can be very unhappy, but I think the problems are much deeper than that. For the left, they love their ideas as long as they don't actually have to live with them, right? What we saw during COVID was a mass exodus of people who voted for these strict COVID policies, leaving places like New York for Florida until things were calmer and looser, and then they got to go back to their lovely cities, right? And so those are the fundamental differences and why I am now very happy in the free state of Florida this week, actually celebrating my 2-year freedomversary from the People's Republic of New York.
Yeah, it is a little better down on the beach. Why the masking? It always hits me, because you don't see a whole lot of it down here in Texas where I live, but it hits me obviously when I go to New York City or when I travel. You'll see it, and it'll still be whole families doing it. Now, even the trust the science dorks at this point in time will tell you the mask is pointless. This was all pointless. Yet these people won't let go. What is it, like a child in their binky? I don't understand. Why?
So I see the mask as evolving in its use, right? So at the beginning, to your points of the binky or the security blanket, people loved the fear. When I was living in New York, people really clung on to the mask, to Fauciism. To them, it was a religion. After that, though, I think it really evolved into being instant status. It's a virtue signal of, you know, I'm so much better than you. I am doing something for my fellow citizens without actually putting in any work, right? It's status without the work. What we're seeing now, most recently in this last week with these pro-Hamas, pro-jihadist protests across the country and also across the Western world, is the use of the mask to hide, right? It's really become a costume for cowards. So I think we're going to continue to see the mask everywhere, but now for a very, very different purpose. And that is, of course, to hide identities.
Hide identity. Yeah, it did translate perfectly for their law-breaking ways. Erin, you have a piece up in the Federalist I thought is pretty interesting, the COVID babies.
So I wrote this article because we've had a flood of pieces in the mainstream media about what's happening with kids today, as if we should be surprised from the consequences of our actions during COVID and since then. And what really happened during COVID is the left used that moment to control people, to take away critical thinking from children, to say that the government knows how to teach your children better than the parents actually do. And this is really dangerous on many levels. One of the most dangerous parts of this is that the mind is actually the last beacon of freedom. If you control someone's mind, you can make them do pretty much anything. And so by removing critical thinking from kids, we're now seeing this consequence, not only in low test scores, not only in mental health issues, but in the way people are actually voting. We have teenagers and college students who are bringing in leaders who don't challenge their victim mentality. They're seeking out leadership in our government that affirms this idea that they're actually not in control of anything, they have no responsibility, and it is actually the government that should be guiding us in our life.
Erin, something that I have gotten a particular kick out of, granted I'm a bad person, you are probably not, is all these flowery lib journalists the past few days and academic types who have been horrified at the pro-Hamas demonstrations in high schools and colleges across the country. They're looking on shocked, almost surprised. Oh, how could this be? How could this be? What did they think the rabid little animals they were nurturing, what did they think these people were?
Well, absolutely. People who grow up in America don't realize that living here is like living in Candyland. And the rest of the world is not like that. Most of the world doesn't think the way we do. They don't talk the way we do. And now, with our porous southern border, we're also really going to experience that with the rest of the world actually coming here. So just as we have people here hiding behind the masks, we have jihadists hiding behind masks across the world. And so the left is going to realize that their lofty ideals no longer fit when they're just in a gated community, when they're in their college classrooms. The rest of the world does not think that way, and we're all going to be experiencing that very soon.
Erin, come back soon. Appreciate you very much.
I'd love it. Thanks so much, Jesse.
Speaking of COVID, let's talk about COVID and money. Horowitz, Daniel Horowitz is going to join us next. He has a lot to talk about before we get to Daniel. Let's do this really quickly here. We do have to make sure we are caring for ourselves first. Remember, ourselves first. So how do we do that? What do we do? Well, we all need to work out more, drink more water, all those things. And we need to make sure our levels are where they should be, but not with big pharma crap. Fellas, when's the last time you got your T levels checked? You know that T levels across the board are in free fall in America because all the estrogens in the waters and the plastics. That's a fact. They're down. They're half of what they were 50 years ago. That'll end the society itself. Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk, fellas, because it's natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Ladies, there's a female vitality stack for you. We all need to be ready to take care of ourselves first, because we can't save the country until we take care of ourselves. 35% off subscriptions with the code JesseTV. Go to chalk.com, promo code JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Today, I'm also announcing $100 million in new U.S. funding for humanitarian assistance in both Gaza and the West Bank. This money will support more than 1 million displaced and conflict-affected Palestinians, including emergency needs in Gaza.
I'm sorry. I know it's not funny. I can't help but laugh. Joining me now, Daniel Horowitz, host of the Conservative Review podcast. It's outstanding. Daniel, so let me see if I understand this right. In Gaza, they elected Hamas. Hamas is the government. We're going to give them $100 million and pretend like the government won't determine how that money is spent. Do I have that right, Daniel?
You know, it used to be the game with the moderate PLO in Judea Samaria. So we said, we'll give it to them. Now that Hamas is full control of Gaza, there's nowhere to run or hide, but I guess somehow it will magically, like a cluster bomb, go out to the poor and the needy, and Hamas's war effort won't gobble it up. But then again, Jesse, we're funding, and you know this, your time in the Middle East, we're funding Hezbollah in Lebanon. I'm sorry, it's the Lebanese Armed Forces, but Hezbollah doesn't get any of it. We're funding their intel. We're funding them with the weaponry, howitzers, Abrams tanks, you name it, even aircraft. And we're also serving as the Shiite Air Force in Iraq, Lebanon, and Syria. We now have 1,000 troops in Syria doing what only Allah knows what we're doing there, pretty much saving Hezbollah from the Sunni insurgency. There's some bad reports right now that there was a drone attack on them. They're just sitting ducks there, killed. The point, Jesse, is this. The America First approach that is also the most pro-Israel and the most minimalist is to stop funding Israel's enemies in the Middle East, stop putting our soldiers in Syria that serve as collateral damage and get in the way of Israeli airstrikes in Syria when they need to do them, and focus on our own damn border and visa system.
Daniel, let me ask a question that's obviously going to be an uncomfortable one, but it's something I think about a lot. I guess I'm probably a more of a barbarian type. Did Israel make a mistake allowing any separate population at all in the beginning? I understand those are dicey, complicated times, but it's just, it's crazy to me, this idea of half conquest the West seems to love. Well, we'll take a place, but we won't really take the whole thing. We'll just take it a little bit. Well, we'll let you hang around a little bit, and look how it ends. It's crazy to me.
Jesse, that is a very disturbing question, because what do we witness? The slaughter of 1,400 Jews in the worst way imaginable. So this was always what they wanted to prevent, and it happened. So I thought at a minimum, they'd come in there, blow up all the tunnels, all the infrastructure and everything, and you got to do what you got to do. It's still stalled out. They can't, not only can't they do anything, but even if they do nothing, now they have to own Hamas's rockets against their own people. Israel committed suicide a long time ago. We know that, culminating really with Oslo and the subsequent things after 1993, 1994. You don't pet snakes. You don't bring them into your civilization. This was never about land. It was always about killing Jews. It was obvious to anyone. To be fair, like we're seeing now, they can't move an inch without the entire world, including an American administration, getting on their case. So that is why they are where they are. There's no conspiracy theory. I hear some on the right are a little bit confused about this. Israel committed suicide over the years, and the Biden administration helped them along the way. And what I find disturbing, we have some allies, and I know you know what I'm talking about, Jesse, where some people claim to be the vanguards of Western civilization. We need Charlemagne. We need all out. Well, this is your Charlemagne moment. And they won't even allow Israel to just go after the infrastructure of Hamas. I mean, we know how this would have been dealt with in World War II with burning down Tokyo. They would have specifically targeted civilians to win the war. But no one was even calling on them to do that. It was just, look, we're going to have to do what we do. They hide their stuff in civilian areas. That's on them. It's not on us. We can't have our people slaughtered. They haven't even stopped the current attack. You have the rockets still going on. The infiltrations, they're still trying with that. They're still holding on to at least 200 hostages, including at least a dozen Americans. And the Biden administration is basically going over to Israel and saying, hey, you know, we're good buddies with Iran and their proxies, so we have them on speed dial. Your northern border, it would be a shame to lose it. So you stay out of Gaza, we'll try to keep the Hezbollahs off your back. That's the predicament they're in now. But the punchline is, if something like this cannot spawn like 5% of our effort with Tokyo, I'm not even talking about the atom bombs, just all the stuff we did, then we are lost. And this is not an Israel problem. This is all of us. That if we ever had the cartels do this to us, Del Rio, Tucson, Douglas, Arizona, come in, murder 1,400 people one day, if this is our attitude, but the civilians, we're done.
Well, the thing is, Daniel, it is our attitude. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine, somebody we both know, about this. And he essentially said, hey, if this happened, you know, to America, if this was 60,000 Americans, you wouldn't see this kind of response. And we were just going back and forth. And I told him, that's crazy, buddy. You're wrong. Yes, we would. It's hard for Americans to understand how truly hostile other Americans are to all freedom, not just Israel's, ours as well. If the cartels came in tomorrow and killed 20,000 Americans, half the American left would be on their side. Half of the others would fight for them.
No, exactly. I mean, this is the disturbing thing, that I am seeing the lack of resolve. You look throughout the world, if you take out American Christian conservatives, the entire world, just 12 days after this massacre, sides with Hamas. The Gaza civilians is the new Ukraine, BLM, January 6th COVID. That is the new thing. It's not Israel, because you're not even hearing that anymore. And, you know, that's what scares me, the lack of resolve. And Jesse, it's not just what happened in Israel. It's that simultaneously as that occurred, before Israel even announced what they were going to do, they were still trying to get control of their territory. You had thousands of Muslim immigrants and others rampaging throughout every Western city, celebrating it. It wasn't even the typical stop the occupation. They didn't even do anything in Gaza yet. This was straight up celebrating the worst savagery we've seen in our lifetime. And that was not enough. I shudder to think what it's going to take to get that resolved.
Daniel, all right, let's talk about something even more uncomfortable, kind of shifting gears, but not really. I mean, everyone has a cause now, right? I want to do this. I want to do that. We need to send this. We need to send that. We act as if we have money, Daniel. It just blows me away that we'll give these people this and these people that, as if there's this big pot of money that we have and we can hand it out. Do people not understand there's no money? Everything we do is borrowed. We are borrowing with interest, with rates going up, on every dime we spend, every aircraft carrier, every soldier, every dollar of foreign aid, it's all borrowed money, especially thanks to COVID. The money is gone in this country. We are painted rust and no one seems to know or care.
COVID was the game changer. I mean, I warned about it at the time. This is long economic COVID. It's kind of like, you know, people that are never the same after the vaccine. Our economy can never recover. What COVID did is the debt used to be a spreadsheet problem, at least in people's minds, a government problem. Well, that's a government solvency issue. That has nothing to do with me. So no one gives a darn about their grandkids. It was like, oh, the grandkids will have to pay a bit. Well, no one cares. They'll say they do, they don't. The thing now is it's a you problem. It's our problem. It is a right now problem. Inflation is not an incidental thing. It's directly correlated. So basically, what we've done now is we're in a death spiral of debt, inflation, and higher rates. So the more we have inflation, the more things go up, the more expensive they are. And then the more we're in debt. The more we're in debt, the more we now have to service it at higher rates. The more debt we need to offload onto the market, the more you have to create demand for that. So you have to offer higher rates. People don't realize it's not just the FOMAC deciding to raise the federal funds rate, which they raised very quickly, but now they haven't raised it for a little while, and they're not signaling they are, but the Treasury yields are going up. The spending will naturally push that up. So it's constantly reinforcing itself. We've incurred $2.2 trillion in new debt since June, McCarthy's greatest spending cuts in American history, and about $650 billion just in 1 month. Now, Jesse, $650 billion in 1 month. It took from George Washington until the Great Recession in 2008 to get an annual deficit of $650 billion. And that's what we're now getting in a month. And by the way, that was the worst recession since the Great Depression. Officially, now we have a bunch of jobs. Officially, we're not in a recession. You wait till that comes, it's game over. And one more data point to bring this home. So for a while, the feds kept this circus up. They had a lot of magic, a lot of games to keep this going up, servicing the Fourth Reich, you know, weaponized government on the cheap. We spent about $250 billion on interest for a number of years up until COVID. For this coming year, it's likely going to be $1.2 trillion just on interest payments. Here's what that means, and that's more than the military. What that means is so here's the deal. The extra burden of that extra trillion of interest payments is so much that if we were to get our dream, okay, our ultimate dream, where you literally not cut, but abolish every non-defense discretionary department and agency. So interior, energy, education, abolish it 100%. And you might have to throw in the VA too. That will get us back to the pre-COVID insolvency of March 2020, where we were in terms of debt. Okay, that's about where it would get us in terms of deficits and the budget. If we, because of just that extra interest on debt, we would have to abolish all non-military defense spending.
Daniel, thank you, my brother. Come back soon. I appreciate it.
Looking forward.
All right. We have Lighten the Mood next. And before we lighten the mood, let's talk about our dogs real quick. We love them. And it hurts to bury one, doesn't it? I've buried plenty. We had Airedales when I was a kid. Then we moved on to Labs, chocolate Labs, or black Labs, yellow Labs, and cried many a tear burying my dog in the backyard. Do you know they die too early? Our dogs should live longer than they do. They die too early because we give them dog food their whole lives. There's no nutrition in dog food. It's empty calories. It would be like you eating a double cheeseburger every meal. You'd die earlier, right? Give your dog Rough Greens. You can keep the food. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. It's a natural nutritional supplement. Go look at what veterinarians have to say about it. Dogs lived years longer because of Rough Greens, with fewer health problems, just like you when you get actual nutrition. They give free Jumpstart trial bags out. You'll see a difference in your dog. Call them, 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back with Lighten the Mood.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. Before we do that, let's lighten your burden, your financial burden. I know you don't want to be in that timeshare anymore. You want out, and I don't blame you. It's time to get out. You don't want to pay the annual fees and the special assessments, and you just want out. But you don't think you can, because you've tried to get out, and they told you you're not allowed. Nah, sorry, you signed the contract. Sorry, you're in for life. You're not stuck. Lone Star Transfer is the reason you're not stuck. Family business. Over 18,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently out. That is awesome. They're successful 99% of the time. It's not a, well, flip a coin and hope. They'll get you out. They put it in writing. Call them. 844-310-2646. Call Lone Star Transfer. It's your phone call for freedom. Get out of that timeshare, all right? All right. I have a special admiration for nuns who smear climate protesters. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.